Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us, and we are brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com. Don't forget, if you don't have an account yet, there's no better time to do it. Take advantage of the sign-up bonus. The Kentucky Derby right around the corner, so you certainly want to be loaded and ready to go for Derby time. Again, if you don't have a Capital OTB Bet account, sign up now. Check out the website, CapitalOTB.com, for more information. Don't forget, there are lots of bells and whistles, lots of fun and opportunities to make even more money if you have an account as well, and that includes the syndicate, which opens today, $5,000 Kentucky Derby syndicate. And I want to alert you to that because it will open at noon, first come, first serve. 30 people will be on the team. They will each put in $100. That's $3,000. Capital OTB is going to put in another $2,000. So it's a $5,000 Derby syndicate. And that $5,000 will be split up amongst some pick bets on Derby Day. And some Exactas Derby itself should be a lot of fun. It allows you to get in for a reasonable amount of money into a large play on Kentucky Derby Day. It should be a lot of fun. The Kentucky Derby Syndicate opening up for signups at noontime today. Go to CapitalOTB.com. I'm told there's a countdown clock on there that will count you right down to the noon signup time because it is first come, first serve, so check that out. Today at the Clubhouse Racebook, the player's bankroll. Keep that in mind as well. Come on down, have a little extra fun. Put your name in the hat. Folks randomly selected to be on the bankroll team, and you make the wagers. And then at the end of the day, all the winnings put into a pot and split up amongst the team. Should be a lot of fun. Clubhouse Racebook today, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Online knockout challenge today as well. If you're playing from home, check out the website to get a little extra fun with the knockout challenge. And tomorrow at the Racebook, it's a double promo day with the Play the Board and the Match Bet promo as well. That's tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook. You also saw the graphic a little bit earlier for the Kentucky Derby Seminar. Keep that in mind. We'll have that Derby Week. It will be online live that Wednesday night. And then Saturday morning, we'll replay it earlier. But Brian Edel, Mike Callahan, and myself, Wednesday, April 28th. At 7 p.m. via the Capital OTB social media channels. All right, today on the show, have a couple of pre-taped interviews. A little bit later on, Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. There was some New York racing news. The governor earlier this week saying fans would be allowed in a limited capacity at the New York track. So we talk a little bit about that. Belmont and Saratoga and more with Pat McKenna, the director of communications from the New York Racing Association. But we'll kick things off talking Oaklawn. Just a fabulous day with the showdown, Monomoy Girl versus Swiss Skydiver in the Apple Blossom this afternoon. This evening, actually, our time it's going to be about 7 o'clock, but I'm really looking forward to it. So I reached out to the paddock commentator down at Oaklawn, Nancy Holthus. We got her thoughts on the big showdown this afternoon and much, much more Oaklawn conversation. Nancy Holthus up next. We are happy to be joined by Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park on their big day, on one of their big days. Last week was a big day, obviously, with Arkansas Derby, but really looking forward to this afternoon. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me back.
Happy to have you back. Last week we talked with Rick Hammerly a little bit about Arkansas Derby, but you and I went back and forth, and I said we'd have you on to talk Apple Blossom, which we will in a few moments. But before we do that, I wanted to go back and get your thoughts in recap on the Arkansas Derby. One thing, though, I wanted to touch on with you that I touched on with Rick last week, because we've talked about it quite a bit. And when I talked to Rick last week, he reiterated, we're deep enough in the meat now, and I hadn't last week seen any numbers, but Rick said, yeah, it hasn't changed at all. Usually about this time of year, I'll talk with you about the claim box down at Oaklawn, which it's crazy. It's on fire. It's like a used car lot down there during the season as far as claims. And Rick said, yeah, it's no different. And then the next day, he sent me the claim board from last week, the day I talked to him. And I think there was about 30 claims on the whiteboard that he sent me. Boy, once again, the claim box is just very popular at Oaklawn.
It certainly is. We've surpassed $6 million. Obviously, it would be higher. It would be a lot higher but we did lose multiple days of inclement weather. So it did actually take a hit compared to what it would be this time of year. Several horsemen have shipped out because they have gone to Keeneland. It certainly has not slowed down. Multiple weigh shakes in every single claiming event, regardless of the dollar amount that is in front of the claim price.
Yeah, I want to say last week, Rick said there was one shake for 20 weigh shake. Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, and that certainly is not unusual. So, yeah, we've got the best claim clerk in the country, because there is such an attention to detail, and just by not dotting an I or crossing the T or putting a wrong date, the claim is void. So there is no room for error. And because there's so much on the line, people, wanting to kind of restock for a later meet, there really is a lot on the line in regards to the claim box here at Oaklawn.
Yeah, and again, with that number of claims and have to be that detailed, that's a great job. And as I say, it's just amazing every year to see the number and the amount of money that passes through and whatnot. All right, let's get back to last weekend. Arkansas Derby, $1 million on the line, grade one event, 100 Derby points to the winner. And other than essential quality, it seems like the Derby trail over the past month and a half has been more notable perhaps about horses that have lost than horses that have won. There have been upsets, and there was no difference in the Arkansas Derby on Saturday. We'll look at the stretch run. Number one, Superstock, gets it done. A nice rebound from number two, Caddo River, after the disappointment in the Rebel. But Concert Tour, the 30-cent to the dollar favorite, winds up third in here. Again, more notable maybe for the loss than the win. Although that said, watching again the simulcast signal last week, a lot of fun in the winner circle for the winner and the family of Steve Asmussen, who are part owners of the horse. So that was notable and fun. Give us your thoughts on the Arkansas Derby.
Well, I thought the race set up actually perfect for Superstock, because you had Caddo River and Concert Tour just battling it out on the front end to some very, very sharp fractions, and they just couldn't make it that last, say, quarter of a mile in the deep stretch, and totally benefiting Ricardo Santana in the lane as he scored by 2.5 lengths. And as you mentioned, a true family affair. Steve Asmussen said he has never had that much family in a winner's circle. It was both sides, he and his wife Julie's family, in that infield winner's circle. And it was such a great moment because his son Keith rode that horse in his maiden victory. Is co-owned by his dad, Keith. So a true full circle moment. Superstock did get on a plane this past Tuesday, bound for Kentucky. He looks to have his first work towards the Kentucky Derby on the 24th, per Steve yesterday. And it's going to be another family affair in Louisville, which is so cool. And a early happy anniversary to Steve's parents. They will be married 60 years this coming Sunday. So just such an amazing story, and you can't not root for the family connection for Superstock.
Yeah, you can see how happy they all were in the winner's circle. And Steve Asmussen, I heard an interview this week where he talked a little bit about the fact that this horse, other than the pandemic, might have been sold, because that's normally the game plan with the horses. His father gets ready for the races, but the pandemic canceled the sale down in Texas, so they held on to the horse. Subsequently, as you say, his son wins the maiden breaker, so a lot of fun there, and a fun story to follow going into the Derby with Superstock. Let's go a little bit earlier on the card. I liked, by my standards, in the Oaklawn Mile. Last year, he had won the Oaklawn Handicap as part of a really solid year that ended in a disappointing fashion with the 8th in the Breeders' Cup Classic and the 7th in the Clark. But boy, earlier in the year, he had just been so spectacular. And on the return to Oaklawn, I liked him. We'll take a look at the stretch run to the Oaklawn Mile last week. And by my standards in the seasonal debut, the number 6 horse does get it done on the comeback and probably has himself set up for another good season. Your thoughts on the Oaklawn Mile?
Well, it was interesting because going into the race, there was a big question if he could get up at the mile, and especially the short stretch run of the mile here at Oaklawn Park. And Brett even said, you know, the mile is a big question mark for this horse because he on his resume, if you look, he is a distance horse. But this was a great comeback spot for him, and it's good to see that he is back on track after that disappointing fall that he had. Back in the winner's circle, Brett Calhoun actually closed out the card with a victory as well. So it was a nice starting off point for this horse's 2021 campaign.
Yeah, it certainly was. And again, after the early part of the season he had last year, you'd have to think another year as a solid player on the handicap scene. And finally, I just wanted to get some comments on the Count Fleet last Saturday because it was another showdown between Whitmore and CZ Rocket. They were coming off the Bing Bang 1-2 finish in the Hot Springs. And it was another 1-2 finish for CZ Rocket and Whitmore, although this one a little bit easier for CZ Rocket. The chart margin wound up to be 2 lengths. CZ Rocket on the replay is the number 6 horse here. Whitmore winds up second as the number 2 horse. So again, they're 1-2 in the follow-up, the Count Fleet, but a little easier victory for CZ Rocket. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's just everybody is obviously disappointed to see Whitmore because he is kind of the king of Oaklawn. CZ Rocket, just simply the better horse in the Count Fleet. And when I interviewed Peter Miller, he says, you know what, kudos to Whitmore. He's such a great horse. And he said the same thing in his interview at Santa Anita after the Hot Springs. And, you know, a big applause for all the runners when they came back to unsaddle after that race. So, you know, even in the pre-race show, I said, you know what, in Arkansas, we have the Arkansas Razorbacks and we have Whitmore. So, you know what, he will live to fight another day. But when I did speak to Ron Moquette, he said moving forward, they're going to be very, very meticulous about his races going on throughout the year. Because of the Lasix protocols, he is known to bleed. Obviously, they would love to run him in the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year. So with that being the ultimate goal, and with Lasix restrictions, they are going to be very, very picky about the races that they do pick for him.
Interesting. And, yeah, I know he is a fan favorite down there. It's a fan favorite in general. You get an 8-year-old like this who has put up the kind of record he has, easy to root for. But all that said, CZ Rocket, a 7-year-old himself with a pretty nice record. So it's just fun to see another 1-2 finish down there for those two. And again, another great stakes day down at Oaklawn in this 2021 season. And we'll jump now to Saturday afternoon. Before we get to the races in particular, you and I were talking off the air. It looks like it'll be fairly nice weather on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we are predicting a decent amount of rainfall coming in around noon this afternoon and for the next several hours after that, maybe around a quarter to half an inch. But that's it for the afternoon. Tomorrow they're predicting mid-60s and partly cloudy, which I think is also partly sunny, if you want to be glass half full about it. You know, it does look to be a good afternoon, so I'm hoping the track is probably going to start out at least a rating of good. I'm gonna be optimistic about it.
Yeah, and again, we're taping on Friday, so the rain expected a little bit on Friday afternoon, but hopefully things clearing up for Saturday. We will certainly keep our fingers crossed, because 6 o'clock your time, 7 o'clock our time here in upstate New York, the showdown, the Apple Blossom, Monomoy Girl, Swiss Skydiver, amongst 6. And before we get to the specifics, just I'd love to hear what the buzz is in the offices down at Oaklawn, because I'm guessing you guys have to be thrilled. You put up $1 million, it's a grade one, and you get two champions like this. I said it on some of the other programming we've done this week. In the era of the Breeders' Cup, you think about the showdown, certainly on Breeders' Cup weekend, but you don't get them as much early in the year as you did when I first got into the game. And so a showdown like this in April, you guys have to be thrilled at this lineup in the Apple Blossom.
Yeah, thrilled is an understatement. And, you know, you kind of look back because several years ago, it was all the buzz was, is Rachel going to come to take on Zenyatta? And it was the showdown that never happened. So this is the showdown that Oakland has been waiting for in the Apple Blossom. It's a lot of excitement. And, you know, we were kind of waiting for a while to see if Kenny McTeague was going to send Swiss Skydiver. And it wasn't until, you know, not that long ago that he finally did make that commitment. So very excited to see these two battle it out. But it's not just a two-horse field. You know, there are six runners in here. A very talented group is set to compete for that $1 million Grade 1 title in the Apple Blossom. And there have been so many talented ladies take the Apple Blossom crown. So super, super excited for this event. And it has been a who's who score this one in the past. And another who's who come on Saturday.
Yeah, we do a daily podcast, The Daily Report, and I ask a trivia question every day. And the trivia question today was, Friday, was name the two horses that won the Apple Blossom and Horse of the Year in the same year. And pretty nice horses. The aforementioned, as you said, a Zenyatta and Azeri was the other one. Both of those were multiple winners of the Apple Blossom. So this has been one of the jewels on the crown every year down at Oak Lawn. And again, no difference this year. We'll take a look. I pulled up a couple of replays. I have the Bayakoa with Monomoy Girl getting it done. She's going to be the number six horse getting it done on February 28th in the Bayakoa. And then we're going to follow that up taking a look at Swiss Skydiver winning the Beholder Mile out at Santa Anita on March 13th. Seasonal debut for both. Both won very nicely and very convincingly. Given the race, though, over the Oak Lawn Strip, I am tilting slightly towards Monomoy Girl. But, boy, I could root for either one of these, and I think it's – I'm just looking forward to the race. But as I say, I'm slightly in favor of Monomoy Girl. What are your thoughts on the Apple Blossom?
Well, Monomoy Girl not only was very, very impressive when she did make her Oak Lawn debut in the Grade 3 Bayakoa, but she certainly – does get a bit of an edge as she draws the outside post. That is a big plus for her as well. She drew the 6 of 6 in the Bayakoa. She was 10 of 10 in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Brad just is always lucky with those pills at the draw, as she has drawn the outside post in her last four starts. Florent Giroux knows exactly what to do for this extremely accomplished mare. And you know what? I think at this point, all he has to do is just sit. Vic and I were talking on the pre-race show yesterday. He said yesterday, you know, he thought she might actually get beat last go. He kind of sat off the pace a little bit, was mid field in the Bayakoa. And you know what? All Frenchie has to do is almost just like move his hand a little bit, and she just goes. It's just a simple ask, and she was gone, scoring by two when all was said and done in that last race. She's so amazingly talented. We saw earlier in her career, she was a true speed horse. She's so tactical. I mean, I don't know if there's anything she can't do. Latruska, however, is a true speed horse. Fausto Gutierrez is extremely confident. She chose to stay on the ground after the Azeri. She was bested by She Dares the Devil, another Cox runner who will run in the La Troyenne next out. She was forced to sit off the pace because She Dares the Devil shot out to the front like a cannon. She sat off the pace for the first time in her career and ran second, beaten only ahead. She's going to get the very, very confident hands of Irad Ortiz in this event. So horses are going to be sitting off the pace from Latruska in the Apple Blossom. But Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy kind of have that same running style, which is going to be very, very interesting. Swiss Skydiver draws the two-post position, And another broad from Steve Asmussen does draw the rail post with Ricardo Santana, who has won the Apple Blossom twice, most recently in 2019 with Midnight Bisou. So it is a very exciting group of fillies and mares. And I remember interviewing Brad Cox after the Biacoa. I think the first thing out of my mouth, Seth, was thank you for bringing her here, because I had a mad girl crush on her and was so excited that she ran here.
Yeah, it is shaping up to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And as you said, Latruska, with the red-hot Irad Ortiz and maybe a little bit of a pace scenario that will play into his hands just makes it much more interesting. A lot of fun. But not the only nice stake on the card on Saturday. Also wanted to get some thoughts on the Oaklawn Handicap. This, again, a nice field of eight in here. I could probably point to five or six that I would have about an equal amount of confidence in, but I'm tilting slightly towards Silver State. We're going to watch the stretch run to the Essex last time, and Silver State is going to be the number five horse here. So on the win, the recent win on the track, I will tilt again slightly in that direction. I think with the triple-digit buyers, the Southern California Invader Express train will take action. I thought the seasonal debut from Fearless was good. Irad Ortiz is on board that Todd Pletcher runner. Marshall Graham and Ten Strike Racing have Warriors Charge. Owendale, I think, is a real player in the Oaklawn Handicap. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is I totally agree with you. This race can be pointed in so many different directions. Another million-dollar race. You mentioned Express Train. He arrived on Tuesday from his base in Southern California. Makes his first start outside of Southern California. John Sheriffs won the Oaklawn Handicap in 2008 with Tiago, and also the first year that Zenyatta won the Apple Blossom. His pilot and Juan Hernandez will also be in for the ride, but you did mention Silver State. This horse, just something happened in his four-year-old campaign. The light bulb just went on. He looks for his fifth straight win as he does step back up to Graded Stakes Company, and Ricardo Santana fits this horse like a glove. He knows exactly what to do. He does draw that rail post, and he's also does have a race at the distance back in the Grade 2 Risen Star. I think this horse has a true shot to get a piece of the action. As you mentioned, Todd Pletcher sends in the number 3 Fearless Irad Ortiz aboard. Todd Pletcher has come in and won this race twice. He did it with Lawyer Ron back in 07 and also Race Day. His dad won this race back in 1980 with Uncool. So kind of a familiar duo there. Brad Cox has two in here. He could actually do it with either runner. So wide open event, and it's a very interesting group. Steve Asmussen actually bookends the field. Silver Prospector on the far outside. This horse was second to Mystic Guide in the Grade 3 Razorback. The Grade 3 Razorback has been a really good prep the last couple of years for the Dubai World Cup. So I tell you what, it is a phenomenal Graded Stakes Day. $1 million purses on the Saturday card. I tell you what, best racing in America.
Yeah, let me just kind of add to that. I was going to put the exclamation point on the interview by saying that, and you led into it perfectly. Hats off to the Sella family and what they've done down at Oaklawn, particularly over the last few years. But $2 million races today, and the Arkansas Derby, $1 million last week. How about that? Over the course of a week, little Oaklawn down in Hot Springs, Arkansas, $3 million races. That's a pretty good series of stakes races down there in Arkansas.
I mean, one of my favorite shows was Press Your Luck as a kid, and I would, anytime I go into the casino, I'm like, no whammies, big bucks.
very good. Yes, no whammy. That's right. Yeah. And again, nice racing last week leading into, again, this week. And it's kind of fun. I said it when I had Hammerly on last week. I said, Arkansas Derby's coming up. And all week I was thinking, I got to get in my last shots at Oaklawn. I love to bet it so much. But then I thought, oh, no, there's the extended meet. So we get this week with the Apple Blossom, and there's still a few more weeks down at Oaklawn. But as I say, and I've said it all season long, I really love Oaklawn racing. I think day in and day out provides a lot of value But there are also the big stakes races, and Nancy really looking forward to Saturday afternoon in the showdown with Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy Girl, and I appreciate the visit this morning.
Well, thanks for the support, and it's always great talking.
All right, Nancy Holth is from Oaklawn Park. Big day coming up on Saturday, Swiss Skydiver versus Monomoy Girl in the Apple Blossom.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Pat McKenna, the Director of Communications from the New York Racing Association. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. I thought we'd reach out. There was obviously with the governor's announcement Wednesday about fans, there was some news, but there's just the Belmont meet around the corner, also news. So I thought a great time to reach out and get some thoughts from the New York Racing Association. First, let's start with a little bit of a somber note, however. Beginning of the week, there was a barn fire at Belmont. Unfortunately, a couple of horses perished, but I bring it up because there was a great account by Keith McCalmont from your office on the NYRA website, also in the Blood Horse, Bob Ehalt. It seems like the late afternoon, early evening fire at the Belmont Barn, there was still a lot of folks on the backstretch, and a number of trainers and backstretch folks pitched in and kind of at their own peril got in. And as I say, unfortunately, a couple of horses perished, but a lot of horses were taken out of the barn, as I say, by a bunch of people pitching in and doing a great job at Belmont.
You're absolutely right, Seth. First and foremost, our condolences to trainer Wayne Potts and the connections of American Sailor and Beastie D. Wayne Potts himself described American Sailor as the heart and soul of the barn, nine-year-old. The entire, you know, Potts operation felt like American Sailor was the center of that barn. So heartbreaking stuff on that front. But you're right, and Keith and Bob both did a fantastic job accounting, telling the accounts of some truly heroic behavior and actions by a ton of, you know, just a wide variety of individuals working and living on the backstretch. Everyone from trainers, assistant trainers, NYRA security being on the scene almost instantaneously, followed by Elmont Fire just a few short minutes after that. Exercise riders, a jockey was involved. I heard accounts of folks around Long Island seeing the Facebook and Twitter posts and jumping in their cars to try to render some aid. So you're absolutely right. What a tragedy, and certainly a tragedy for the Wayne Potts operation. But it could have been far worse. And to have 58 horses now safe and secure in different barns was it really demonstrates just the strength of the fabric of the community of New York racing, of the backstretch community at Belmont Park.
Yeah, and as I say, people can go to the NYRA website and check out what Keith wrote, or Blood Horse, and check out what Bob wrote, because it's a great account of, as you say, heroic efforts of people at their own peril going in and showing how much they care for the horses with the smoke and whatnot and getting out that many horses. So again, a somber note to start things out, but let's shift gears a little bit, maybe a little more pleasant news. As I alluded to, middle of the week, Governor Cuomo came out and said horse racing starting April 23rd, we'll be allowing fans at 20% capacity. The Naira folks subsequently later that day put out a statement. I'm just wondering how things have evolved, and give us a little update. What's the fan situation now as we're less than a week away from the opening at Belmont?
Sure. Obviously, welcome news made by Governor Cuomo on Wednesday afternoon, as you say, authorizing racetracks statewide to open the doors to spectators as of April 23rd at 20% capacity. You know, we've been racing without spectators, as you well know, since June 3rd of 2020, an abbreviated Belmont Spring Summer Meet, an entire 40-day Saratoga Meet, Belmont Fall, now as we're about to conclude the 2021 season at Aqueduct. It's incredible to think of each and every day without the passion, the energy, and the excitement that only the best fans in racing here in New York can bring. So we do need some clarification. You know, what the governor announced was essentially bringing us in line with the restrictions that are currently applicable to large outdoor stadiums. Yankee Stadium, for example, 20% capacity for them is very easy to calculate. It's simply based on the number of seats. We're a very different environment, whether it's Belmont Park or Saratoga Racecourse. The intent of that 20% capacity was certainly not 20% of 90,000 at Belmont Park or 20% of 50,000 at Saratoga. So we're working through that process with the Gaming Commission. They will certainly be issuing specific rules and regulations that will allow racetracks to bring fans back on the property. It's not going to be on Friday, April 23rd, unfortunately, just because operationally, as you can imagine, we have a fully fledged Northwell Health vaccination site at Belmont Park to resume some of the internal operations, whether it's mutuals or otherwise. It takes a little bit of time. We've obviously been preparing this for this day and involved in these conversations for months now about how we can safely and quickly bring fans on the property. So right now, focused on Belmont and how quickly we can open the doors to some fans. At this point, all fans would be subject, would need to demonstrate either complete vaccination, so 14 days following a multi-vaccination dose, or 14 days following the Johnson & Johnson, or a recent COVID negative test. I believe it's within 72 hours. So those restrictions are still in place. But ultimately, you know, it's momentum. It demonstrates the progress that we've made here in New York against COVID. And we're incredibly optimistic at Naira that these capacity restrictions are going to continue to ease in the coming weeks and months. Just yesterday, read that more than 50% of New Yorkers age 18 and up have now received one shot. So, incredible progress on the vaccine front. And that's ultimately how you get back to some normalcy. So when it comes to Saratoga, we don't necessarily have all of the details right now, but the optimism is at its highest point at any period during this pandemic, because the numbers are going in the right direction. Vaccinations are on the increase. Cases are on the decrease. We can be creative with Saratoga. As anyone knows, part of what makes it such a magical spot is that there's so many different ways to enjoy a day at the spa, whether it's in one of the restaurants, in a backyard table, in a stadium seat, on the apron. We'll certainly be making some adjustments, but we're committed to doing absolutely everything in our power to welcome as many fans as possible to the spa this summer. What we know is that there will be spectators during the 2021 summer meet. We don't yet know how many there'll be. I think that most operators of venues, whether it's sports or entertainment, fully expect that capacity come July 15th, come July 1st, even June 15th, will be much higher than 20% if this progress continues unimpeded. So we've been looking at various scenarios for, you know, the better part of a year now, how we can creatively use so many of those areas at Saratoga that are outdoors. You know, will there be some wrinkles? Will it be different than the 2019 experience in terms of potentially having to reserve picnic tables, socially distance, stay within groups. Sure, some of those will most likely be in place by July. But what's really important is that it is going to be a heck of a lot different than the 2020 meet in all the right ways. So we're looking forward to it. Don't have all the details quite yet. And we're going to implement those and be as creative as we can so that people can get back to where they belong at Belmont and Saratoga.
Yeah, and you kind of alluded to it. And obviously, as I walk around our facility here in Albany, you know, TV studios in the back of the racebook on Central Avenue, for the last few months, people have asked me, or if they see me around town at Saratoga. So what do you think? You have fans this year? And over the past couple of months, again, as you've alluded, I've become more optimistic with the vaccine situation. And I've said right along, I would expect NYRA has a number of contingency plans. You've had plenty of time to work things out, and the contingencies would depend on how many people, what percentages can get in, and we're going to start out with that 20%. But again, I would assume you would have contingencies as things start to loosen up. And so with Saratoga around the corner, I would assume, given what you're saying now as well, you're already looking at the possibilities of things opening up more and more, and you have those contingencies set up. And you'll be able to also work out in a few weeks, I assume, some fans into Belmont, so you'll see what works and doesn't work there. But things like Saratoga, I'm wondering, will 2021 maybe see the return of one of the popular items up at Saratoga? Saratoga breakfast, is that a possibility?
You know, sure, I think there's a world of possibilities right now, considering we're here in late April, and we're going to open up the 2021 meet with spectators in attendance on July 15th. I think we want to, I mean, I've even received some questions recently with the reopening of training about the Whitney viewing stand. People are eager to get back out there when the Oklahoma opens in early May to, you know, to see some horses, to experience that ritual of morning training again. I think this is a really important year to do everything we possibly can to ensure that the community in and around Saratoga, all of upstate New York, the capital region, can come back and to something that's as familiar and as beloved as Saratoga. So those are certainly open questions, but we're working really hard right now to make sure that that we can offer some of the things that folks have become accustomed to.
Yeah, looking forward to it, because I was lucky enough to be part of the press and up in the auxiliary press box. I kind of like that. I'm thinking maybe I want to get back to the dining room this year, but I was lucky enough to be there every day. But I think Mike McAdam said it. It was nice. It was fun. It was fun to be there for racing, but it was very different, and we certainly missed the fans. And I agree wholeheartedly. So looking forward to that energy back in the building up at Saratoga, and hopefully sooner rather than later at Belmont, as well as the protocols will match up with whatever the government is kind of looking at this point. Let me hit on some other things. I've said it already. We're less than a week away from Belmont, so set us up for the upcoming Belmont meet.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Belmont spring meet. We're looking forward to it. It's been great to be at Aqueduct. There's a massive vaccination site at Aqueduct as well. You know, as you just mentioned, to be able to transition from Aqueduct, which has been the site of so much COVID-19 activity in terms of the response, a testing site, vaccination site throughout the winter, strong fall meet, strong winter meet. Here we are just a couple of days from the end of it. It's amazing how time flies considering we've been there since November, but it truly does feel like we're turning the page here in a number of different ways as we approach the 2021 meet. The Belmont Stakes back to its traditional location as the anchor of the Triple Crown, Belmont Stakes Racing Festival from June 3rd through the 5th. Every Saturday during the Belmont Spring is a big Saturday, not unlike what we experience up at Saratoga. And that, coupled with emerging from the winter, hopefully emerging from the pandemic, spring has sprung, and it has never felt better to look forward to a Belmont spring summer meet. Fans are on the way back at some point soon. We'll obviously be great racing throughout. You know, just those are just some of the things that come to mind immediately. You know, thankful also to the entire community and community of first responders in and around Queens. I mean, the as we leave Aqueduct, people will continue to be streaming in there, as many as 4,000 a day, getting vaccinated. The variety of state agencies it took to get that operation off the ground was something to behold. So, but yeah, looking forward to get back over there. Huge progress in terms of the arena. You heard that from the governor on Wednesday. The roof is sealed. I think that many folks in our world haven't been over there in a little while. We've been so focused on Aqueduct, and that property has been transformed. So on the racetrack, obviously the best of the best out there, and looking forward to getting back.
Yeah, and hats off to everybody at NYRA for, again, not only weathering this on the racing side of the game, but being a great community participant with the testing and the vaccines at the facilities as well. That's certainly been a great help down there in the metropolitan area, no question about it. Belmont, nice stake schedule. Obviously, the third jewel of the Triple Crown with the Belmont, so we're looking forward to all that. But there was an interesting announcement made a couple of days ago that bettors will clearly be intrigued about. Some bettors. I kind of like the jackpot pick six. But I know there's a lot of people that miss their traditional pick six. You're bringing it back. You've had the Empire Six. You played around with it down at NYRA. But at a $1 increment, the traditional pick six is coming back to the New York Racing Association, which, as I say, some people have missed it. And I think you're going to be in a nice niche now, because I think you'll be the only one with that traditional. I think it's going to play very well.
Yeah, we do too. At a dollar price point, which is a reasonable price point for the everyday bettor to be able to get into some of these pools, which obviously offer some tremendous payouts. You know, credit to Dave O'Rourke, to Tony Alivato, because we started this pilot program, remember, in January, February, to take a really hard look at the nature of the pick six. At that point, the Empire Six, we started in with a daily mandatory payout, made it a retail only wager, which is what this new traditional contradiction in terms, but the pick six will be launching with the beginning of Belmont also as a retail only wager. But you know, we've been looking at taking a hard look at the data, balancing that with, what we hear from the community of horse players who support our product day in, day out. And that was part of the impetus of the move from the jackpot format, where high volume players tended to have a significant advantage on payout days when the average player was providing the substance of the pool day in, day out. So I think that was pretty well received. And this is, another adjustment. I think it's a good thing that at NYRA we have the ability to be a little bit creative, to take a hard look at things and make adjustments as they become necessary and feel appropriate. And what works at Aqueduct may not necessarily work at Belmont. Each and every one of our venues and race meets have their own character, tenor, and tone. And what works at Belmont may also not necessarily be a perfect fit for Saratoga. So we'll continue to look at these. This is the continuation of that pilot program, which allows the folks who study this stuff every day at NYRA to really analyze it over the course of the meet. But as you say, we hope that the everyday horse player appreciates this kind of an opportunity back to a more traditional pick six.
Yeah, I think that group of bettors that, have missed this traditional pick six, you'll now be the place where they focus. So I'm going to be really interested to see. I think it'll do well. So that was interesting news from the past few days. Just to get back as we wrap things up here to Saratoga once again, talking about fans in the racing season. But Saratoga action actually starts in a couple days. This weekend. Training returns to Saratoga on Saturday. But talk a little bit about the return to training, but more importantly, it'll start on the main track. Usually the horses come to town. They're over at the Oklahoma. There was a backyard party last fall, a breakfast party for the last day of training. So I went over and had some donuts, watched the last horses work at Oklahoma. But even at that time, you could see them setting up for the renovation work. and it is a major renovation project at the Oklahoma. So folks won't horses and folks won't move over to Oklahoma for another month or so, but there will be horses on the track training starting this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll start with the Oklahoma project since you raised it. You know, Glenn and Glenn Kozak and the Naira facilities and capital projects teams, the work that they do over the course of a winter in Saratoga, for example. And you're right, the work started as soon as the horses left in the middle of November. And what you'll see when horses return to the Oklahoma training track in early May at the completion of this significant renovation project is essentially a new, completely renovated base layer and surface of the dirt training track itself, a state-of-the-art rider safety rail, just like the one that is now on the main track, the addition of modernized drainage systems, which sounds relatively boring, frankly, but the way that Glenn and the world-class folks who work on our racetracks operate is by constantly assessing and improving drainage, because the two main tools they have are water and monitoring water and then adjusting the surface as they see fit. So having really good drainage is incredibly important, especially in a place like Saratoga where we see these strong storms. We seem to be seeing an increasing frequency in storms that pop up almost out of nowhere. We had a few of them last summer, a few more of them the summer before. And this also mirrors the work that was done to the main track at Saratoga last year, which unfortunately most fans didn't get to see in person, but the response from horsemen, the response from jockeys was universally positive. And that is now a track that responds incredibly well to, storm activity, heavy rain. I mean, Seth, you recall some of those rain events overnight getting to the track, and it was, fast by post time, which would not have been possible in the years prior. Beyond that, it's a big safety enhancement because all of the things that I just described when it comes to improved drainage lead to a more consistent surface. And that's always what Glenn and his team are looking for, is consistency day to day on any one particular surface, but also, and this is now a little bit more well understood by the sport at large, consistency from surface to surface, from venue to venue. So the Oklahoma training track will now be much more similar to the composition of the main track than different. The main track down at Belmont, the training track at Belmont, they are constantly working and focusing on how to make all of our surfaces as consistent between venues as possible. So this is a huge project at Oklahoma, and it's an investment in the future of Saratoga Racecourse. It's an enhancement in safety, and it also expands the width of the Oklahoma by basically 10 to 14 feet in almost every area around the entire circumference of the track. I've seen increasing popularity of Oklahoma as a destination for horsemen, as a center of training activities, not only during the meet, but now especially after the meet into the fall, during the spring. So the time had come to really make the improvements that that hadn't been made for many, many years. So it is a different, the Oklahoma functions as a very different kind of a training center today than it did 50 years ago, and these improvements reflect that.
And again, hopefully sooner rather than later, people can get up into that Whitney stand and watch those workouts as we're used to in years past, but we'll see how those protocols work out. And again, they won't be on the Oklahoma track for another month anyway, but it's going to be a brand new Oklahoma after renovating the main track a couple seasons back. So
the project is nearly complete. Final testing. We have a guy named Dr. Mick Peterson, who I'm sure you're familiar with, runs the racing surface testing laboratory at the University of Kentucky. So he'll come up and do his final battery of tests to make sure the surface is consistent and solid. And we may be able to open it sometime in the first couple of weeks of May.
Nice.
So that'll be great. As you said, training will start on the main track. It'll certainly be few and far between as early as tomorrow because of the weather and not a huge influx of horses, but that picks up with each passing week. So we're looking forward to Saratoga always.
Yeah, and as you say, it's become really a popular place for horses to come early season, late season, outside of the racing season itself as well. And Pat, just before we let you go, I wanted to touch on one more thing because it's something we've been talking about in anticipation for, I don't know, a year, year and a half or so. We've had Michael Dubb on with us up at Saratoga. He is certainly an important part of the Belmont Child Care Association and the daycare center they have for the backstretch workers down there. And we've talked about it for, as I say, a year or two, starting up a similar program at Saratoga. And it looks like it's opening up fairly soon, Faith's House in Saratoga, similar facility for daycare for the backstretch workers, so important. And again, hats off to Michael Dubb and company, but it looks like the opening is around the corner for that as well.
Yep, absolutely. And you're right. Michael Dubb is obviously accomplished in business, accomplished as an owner in racing, just about everything you can possibly accomplish. But I've heard him say this on multiple occasions. The most important thing he's done in his life outside of his own family is starting and growing the Belmont Child Care Association. Anna House down at Belmont provides early childhood education and daycare services for the backstretch 12 months a year. The addition of Faith House, which was a passion project certainly for Michael Dubb and the entire BCCA team, this took him, by his own admission, a decade to accomplish. So these are not insignificant projects, and it will serve the backstretch community well, and it is it'll be a wonderful addition. So I think they expect 35 to 40 kids this first season that they'll be providing early childhood education, and look forward to seeing a ribbon cutting here in short order, and adding that service for the men and women who make racing happen at Saratoga, at Belmont, and Aqueduct.
Yeah, again, hats off to Naira for providing the area for the facility. Hats off to Michael Dubb for getting going, getting it built, and great job for the backstretch folks who are the backbone of the industry. Pat, appreciate the thoughts, and again, I thought there was some interesting Naira news, mainly fans coming back, so much applause on that. We hope it gets worked out sooner rather than later and things work out down there. And hats off to you and everybody for the past year and the pandemic and having racing. I think racing has done as well as any sport during this whole series of, you know, setbacks for other sports and whatnot. But for the most part, the racing game has done very well, including the New York Racing Association. So great job there. But as we break out of this pandemic, looking forward to the fans coming back on track and appreciate the visit.
We are too. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Pat McKenna, Communications Director from the New York Racing Association. So again, thanks to Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association for joining us and updating a little bit. Fans coming back, the governor announced on Wednesday 20% capacity at racetracks starting with opening day down at Belmont. But as Pat indicated, that may not be the day that fans actually show up on track, as Belmont is a vaccination site, but they also have to adjust to what the protocols are going to be exactly. And so the upshot is it is fluid and will continue to be fluid as this whole thing has been. What is true today, a week from now, may be a little bit different. And I say that because, fingers crossed, by the time we get to Saratoga, hopefully things have changed for the better as far as the number better, B-E-T-T-E-R and B-E-T-T-O-R, but hopefully more folks can show up at Saratoga by the time we get there. But again, we'll keep our fingers crossed. But again, thanks to Pat McKenna for the visit, and also a little bit earlier, Nancy Holthus. And again, really looking forward to Oaklawn today with that showdown between Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver. Our time, it'll go off a little after 7 o'clock tonight, locally their time, 6 o'clock in Arkansas. But that's going to be a really, it's early in the year, but you already know that that's slated to be a highlight of the calendar 2021. Speaking of calendar 2021, looking at the events calendar for April 2021 for Capital OTB, once again, a reminder that today is the opening day for signups for the Kentucky Derby $5,000 syndicate. You're about an hour away from the signups opening up. go to CapitalOTB.com, and I'm told there's a counter on there, a time counter that will count you down to the sign up at noontime today. Noontime today, that kicks off. 30 folks will be in, first come, first serve. Everybody will be asked to put up $100. That's $3,000. Capital OTB puts in another $2,000. $5,000 for some nice juicy bets on Derby Day. It should be a lot of fun. If you'd like to get on the syndicate team, again, check the website starting noon today. First come, first serve for your signups. Today, there's also a player's bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Stop on by. Folks will be selected to be on the bankroll team. Everybody that is randomly selected gets a little dough to play. All the winnings are pooled together and split up amongst the team. That happens this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. There's a $100 online knockout challenge. If you're sticking at home today, you can check out that for a little extra action on Saturday afternoon. Tomorrow, Clubhouse Racebook, there's a double promotion, play the board, a match bet contest. That's tomorrow at the Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And don't forget the Kentucky Derby seminar coming up the Wednesday prior to the Kentucky Derby. It'll be live via our social media platforms at 7 o'clock that Wednesday night, April 28th. Then we'll replay it actually very early on Derby morning, replay of the Kentucky Derby seminar. But Brian Addo, Mike Callahan, and myself talking Derby and more, 2021 Kentucky Derby seminar. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. It has been a fun 2 hours, taking a look at a lot of Saturday afternoon racing action, highlighted by that Apple Blossom. We'll have it all here on the network this afternoon as well, and I'll be back in a couple hours with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. I have a little Keeneland, a little Oaklawn, a little Aqueduct to take a look at this afternoon. And as I say, back in a couple hours, Oaklawn actually has an early start today, so they'll go off at about 1 o'clock. Keeneland goes off at 1 o'clock, 1:05, and Aqueduct goes off at 1:20. So a couple hours we'll be back to look at those venues. There'll be much more here on the network as well. So as always, thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll see you in a couple hours. Until then, enjoy the action that's coming up, and good luck this afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.